This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Nice to have Bonnie Blair back with us here on Sports Byline USA, gold medalist in the 500 and 1,000-meter events at speed skating in the 94 Olympics, almost a gold medal winner in almost every Olympics you can think of. Same two events in Albertville, also the 500 and the 1,000 in Calgary in 88. Bonnie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
What's your life been like? Because, you have left your mark on the sport, of course, but you're somebody who has really emerged as a personality as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, there's definitely been a point of transition there of not competing and not training every day. And, go through some emotional ups and downs. I mean, it's great to wake up and know I don't have to do a workout every day. But, smells outside and things bring back memories, So it's almost kind of like you go through a point of mourning, I guess. But not that I look back and I would want to have done anything different. I felt good with the time that I left. And I'm still involved in the sport in a lot of other different ways. And that's what keeps my interest there. I'm on our board of directors. So I think that's also kind of helped make the transition a little bit easier. But, yeah, it's kind of hard, But I definitely don't have any regrets. But I'd be lying if I said that I didn't miss it.
I know a lot of people tell me in sports that when they retire from a sport, they have to really get away for it. Joe Morgan was saying that he had to get away from it for a couple of years before he could get back into it. Have you purposely set yourself up in any particular way to deal with this? Because it's been such a part of your existence, Bonnie, for such a long time.
Yeah, and I guess, one thing that I did, I tried to help our juniors quite a bit. So, I'd go to the rink and I'd skate with them and kind of help them in technical aspects and things like that. And I knew that when I walked away from the sport, or at least the competitive end of it, that I knew that I wasn't going to get out of it totally. That was, I think sometimes when people have to get out of it, totally, it's when they've either had bad feelings or gone through frustrating things or, things like that. And I left on such a positive note that, it had so many positive impacts in my life that I wasn't ready for it to just totally be out of my life. And I don't think it really ever will be. I'll always find ways to, try to keep giving back and so that it's in some part of my life in one way or another.
Just an observation, I would think it'd be very difficult for you to work with juniors in the sense that in a sport as isolated and as individual as speed skating is, knowing that you can control and determine the outcome of what your effort is, that it would be hard to help somebody knowing that you don't have that control like you do when you're competing.
Yeah, I guess that's, one thing, and I think as time goes on and maybe things settle down in my life and I'm not traveling quite as much and I am at home a little bit more. I would like to try to get a little bit more into the coaching end of it. But, granted, my last quite a few years of the sport, I was very dedicated to what I did. And, sometimes it's kind of hard to, maybe watch other skaters and, see that they've got a lot of potential, but maybe they don't put into it what you think they should. Or that part of it, I think, will be something that I'll have to deal with and learning to adapt to, everyone's an individual and, what's maybe right for one person isn't right for another. But sometimes seeing someone slack off I had my point in time of slacking off, but I think what you always remember is what's most frequent in your mind. And, that will be something that I would learn to have to deal with for sure.
You had to be so single-minded for such a long period of time to accomplish what you did in speed skating. When you reflect back on it, is there anything you regret about being so single-minded?
Yeah, I look at what happened, through my whole career in the sport. And, I had my ups and my downs, but there's not one thing that I think I would have changed or have tried to do different. To me, it was almost like a storybook. I had frustrating seasons, but those were all on non-Olympic years. And then it would seem like to come to the Olympics and, things would just be going my way again. And, why is that? I don't know. But, it seemed to me that maybe in high school I missed some things, maybe going to dances or I had to quit being a cheerleader, but you know, I don't look back on that and regret any of that, you know, because I felt like I got so many more positives out of being involved in the sport that, you know, that's more of what I looked at. I always looked at the positives instead of maybe the negatives or things that they maybe didn't go quite my way.
One of the things that I find interesting about you, Bonnie, is that speed skating, generally speaking, has been a low-profile sport. I mean, I'm not trying to demean it in any way, but you, that could be a positive and a minus. But you, as you moved along, you had the support of your family. You had your support of the people in Milwaukee, the people in Wisconsin. It seemed to grow, and you always seemed very comfortable about carrying their hopes and their desires with you in your performance. Now, that can be an awfully heavy weight. How did you balance that? How did you deal with that?
Well, you know, I guess kind of even just getting to the first part of your question and how, you know, our sport is more one of the minor sports and we're not looked at that much, but we are looked at on the Olympic years. And since we have been such a successful sport, I think the media really expects us to always perform every time the Olympics comes around. And, you know, that was kind of hard to deal with at the very beginning, you know, leading up to 88, because here, you know, I had had success in 87, but now all of a sudden in 88, now the media wants you. And that part was kind of hard to adapt to. But, you know, through all of that and, you know, my family all going to the Olympics and the numbers kept increasing every Olympics we went to, you know, I never really felt the pressure of them or like, you know, here they've spent all this money, and if you don't do well, it's going to be a total waste for us. I never felt that. I always felt that they were there, they were going to have fun no matter what, and, you know, that's just the way it was. You know, they were there to support and to encourage me, but, you know, even if I was sick that day and couldn't go to the event site, I knew they'd find some way to have fun no matter what. So, you know, I think, you know, whether that was just how I was brought up in our lifestyle and how that all works, you know, I don't know. But, you know, part of the whole thing is I love to go out there. I love to compete. I loved our sport. And, you know, I hoped win or lose, people would still like me no matter what.
Tell me a little bit about the Blair family and how they factored into your success over the years.
Well, I'm the youngest of six kids. And, you know, within all of us, our whole family, no matter what any of us have ever gotten involved in, we've always really been there for each other. And, you know, I think that's the main thing. We're always there for each other no matter what. And, you know, we were very lucky as a family that, you know, my dad had a pretty good job that he could support us and let us get involved in whatever sports we wanted to. And especially speed skating, where it's not, you know, collegiately or anything like that, you know, then that meant there were a lot of bills and a lot of expenses going to the different competitions. But, you know, like I said, we were very fortunate that my dad was able to fund us in that way. And but, you know, just the support, just them being there, you know, for me and, you know, knowing that they're going to be there for me no matter what, whether I win or lose, I know they're still going to always love me no matter what.
How long did you live in Champaign, Illinois?
Well, I moved there about 3 months after I was born and then was virtually there probably till, I don't know, some years ago, where then I started, moved away more for the sport. You know, not necessarily that I got out of town because I didn't want to be there anymore, but because of the sport of speed skating took me away. And my mom still lives there, so, I mean, that's still home to me now, even though now I'm currently living in Milwaukee.
I ask that as a prelude to this question, because I certainly know Champaign, Illinois quite well. I went to high school just up the road from there, Chanute Air Force Base.
Rantoul.
I went to Rantoul Township High School.
There you go.
So I know Champaign, and I just wondered if coming from small-town America made it a little bit easier for you to focus in and give a commitment to a sport without feeling like something was taken away from you, whereas if you grew up in a big metropolitan area where there were a lot of things going on around kids and a lot of peer pressure, that sort of thing, it might be real easy to say, well, gee, if I go out and skate at 4:30, 5:30 in the morning in practice, I'm not going to be able to do this tomorrow night and that sort of thing. Did that help in a sense?
Well, I think I was just very fortunate that my hometown police department, like I said, my dad supported us all, you know, when we were younger and growing up, but by the time I came around, being the youngest, he was getting ready to retire, and I needed some financial backing, and my hometown police department kind of jumped in there and helped me a lot, and they just said, don't worry about anything. You just go out there and skate. Well, it wasn't exactly like them just taking their money out of their account at the police station. What they did is they had a lot of fundraisers. And so in a sense, it was like the whole Champaign-Urbana area kind of kicking in and supporting me with the police department behind the whole thing. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, they, you know, and once again, they were there for me, but I knew that they weren't expecting me to win. You know, they just were, you know, thinking, God, this is great. We've got someone who's going to be going to the Olympics. And, you know, it was that kind of idea. And then, you know, then I started winning. And, of course, then everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon. And they're like, this is great, you know, and we want to be part of it, too. So, you know, I was just very lucky. Like, you know, I think definitely being in a small town helped me get that support. Coming, if I would have been coming from a bigger town, I don't think that support would have been, you know, as easily to get it as it was coming from a smaller town.
Yeah, I don't see that happening with the LAPD or the New York Police Department.
No,
I
don't think so.
And I can just imagine the type of fundraisers they'd have.
I don't think it'd be quite the same.
Bonnie, how is the focus, the expectations, the pressure different for a speed skater, say, compared to a figure skater?
Well, you know, we're strictly against the clock, so you know that's the big difference between us. One, we're going against the clock, and they're going against judges. But, you know, and of course we're going, you know, head to head against somebody else. But, you know, I think when you're going out there and, you know, trying to perform, you know, we're just going out there and we're trying to go fast. You know, so it is different. But they get used to growing up in that. In that sort of competition, and we're used to growing up in our sort of competition. So, in a sense, it's kind of hard to compare the two. I mean, yeah, definitely there's differences, but we're all very used to what we compete in, no matter what it is.
Well, the reason I asked that question, and maybe I can state it another way and get another answer from you, is that obviously people can relate to figure skating because they probably get caught up in the beauty. You don't have to be an expert to understand what kind of is going on. In your sport, you are up against head-to-head competition. You're up against the clock. And so, therefore, I wondered whether the public's expectation might be a little bit less of a speed skater than it would a figure skater.
I would almost think it's maybe the other way around.
Why?
Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you might perform well. She felt she had a very excellent performance, but she didn't necessarily get judged that way. Well, I can go out there and have a great performance, and you just got to look at the clock, and that tells it all. You know, the clock doesn't lie, where, you know, sometimes when you're putting your performance in the hands of, I don't know how many judges they have, 9 or whatever, the results are in their hands and not necessarily yours.
Well, the reason,
you know, I have the whole control of my race, basically.
Well, if you take a look at the ratings for figure skating, and they talk about this all the time, you know, they are so high across the board, whereas
you mean the TV ratings?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, yeah, but you also got to look at what was going on this past week.
Well, no. I'm not talking about just this. Anytime
but
they
I
have...
I think there is some, you know, there's the beauty of it. You know, figure skating has always been very powerful, you know, I believe in every country. You know, so that is going to get the high ratings no matter what. I mean, you know, here in the United States, our national championships for figure skating gets televised, and, you know, ours maybe makes the scoreboard results.
Does that rankle the speed skaters to any degree?
You know, not necessarily. I mean, we'd like it if we would have that ability to be able to get on TV for our national championships, but, you know, in a sense, we know that it hasn't been possible in the past. And but like I said, you know, the speed skating as a whole, short track and long track, did very well at this last Olympics. So we're hoping that can give it the boost that we will get more notoriety. You know, I don't think we'll ever really come close to what the figure skaters can attract, but, you know, we'd like to try to get close to that.
Maybe if you put sequins on the latex outfits and had gold skates.
Yeah, and go to music and everything else, right?
Well, it's just an
that
idea.
That would slow us down. That's too much wind drag.
Bonnie, thank you for the way you've represented your country, because it has been one of not only the outstanding accomplishments, but also in the way that you did it. Bonnie, thank you for joining us tonight here on Sports Byline.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Bonnie Blair, gold medalist in the 500 and 1,000-meter events in speed skating in the 94 Olympics Lillehammer Norway Games, and the most gold medals won by any female U.S. Olympian, and the winningest U.S. athlete in Winter Olympics history. We're back on the other side. We'll continue across the country and around the world as we've got you, America, on America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline.